Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast about children's development from the Center for Inclusive Childcare.
Welcome to Inclusion Matters, a podcast from the Center for Inclusive Childcare. I'm Priscilla Weigel, the Executive Director, and I'm back today with Sarah Hawley, who is one of our great partners. She is the owner of Minnesota Childcare Health Consultants. She's a public health nurse, an RN, and she spends all of her time in the early childhood setting helping folks provide healthy quality care for young children. And she has great supports and tools to do that. And so welcome, Sarah. Glad you're back.
Hi, Priscilla. Thank you for having me. Happy to be here.
We're going to talk about brain building today. Mm-hmm. And this is so fascinating and also so important for all of us who spend time with young children to know that this is critical time. This is really foundational for lifetime. Right?
Yes. Yes. Perfect way to lead into this. It absolutely is. I find this so fascinating. Because if you think about even us as adults, I mean, your brains need nurturing really throughout your entire life. That's going to help determine the connections in our brains, and help us thrive and grow strong. But in the earliest years with young children, they need extra support to grow a healthy brain. So just basic things, really, like caring relationships, child-centered interactions, responsive care. Those are keys to nurturing healthy brain development in young children. It's also important to note that the first years of a child's life, their brain grows faster than it ever will grow again. Children's early experiences shape brain development and sets the groundwork for a lifetime of learning. And then relationships are really what build our brains. So responsive caregiving is key to supporting healthy brain development.
Oh, definitely. And we have some other initiatives that we work on with Greater Twin Cities United Way that's called 80 by 3. 80% of the child's brain is developed by the age of three. Yeah. And so the tools and resources we develop for that really focus on this critical time. And I think the more we can say that out loud to other people who aren't in the field, it's so important because we were working with a consultant who works, in another field of work, not early childhood. And he's a dad and he has kids. And he said, well, what's this 80 by 3 stuff you're doing? And we're like, well, 80% of the child's brain is developed by the age of three. And he went, oh, shoot, I wish I would have known that.
He's probably like, my child just turned four. Shoot.
Yeah, right. Shoot.
No,
but I think the more we can educate families about that as well, and the reasons behind what we provide for children are so important. And sometimes I think people think brain building, ooh, got to do all those academic type experiences. And really, you listed connection, responsive care, child-centered relationships, just so many things that the early childhood setting is set up for in a beautiful way.
Yeah. Yep. So you hit the nail on the head. I mean, research says with brain building that, like I mentioned, that first 5 years of life, the child's brain is growing faster than it's ever going to grow again. So every time we learn something new, which young children are learning new things every day, our brains really make new physical connections, new brain cells or neurons. So even if on this podcast, if you learn something new today, your brain's going to be physically different after listening to it. But children's brains, they're really built to learn new things. So between, you said 80% by age three. Yeah. So between birth and age three, children's brains are supposed to, I mean, this is per the scientific research, they make 1 million new neural connections per second.
Wow.
And it's amazing. And it's much slower for adults. So like an example of this is if I tried to learn a different language right now, if I took up French, it would be much harder for me than a young child learning dual languages at the same time.
Right.
And I think too, with a child, the more they have an experience, the stronger those connections become. So it's the earliest experiences that are going to shape the child's brain development. So I think it's really important for people to understand that, the people, the places, the languages, the traditions, those are fundamental early experiences that build our brains and really a children's identity too.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the relationships. That's really the most important factor in brain development. So you really don't, you kind of led to this, you really don't need fancy toys and gadgets or like programs or anything. What's more important is just supportive and responsive relationships.
Yeah, definitely. And that's where we come in as those grownups who are aware of this. So everyone within our listening audience is hearing this now. And so ideally tomorrow, they would be like super hyper aware, more so than they were yesterday, as you said, because they heard this podcast, their brain changed from one day to the next.
Mm-hmm.
And I would hope that it would spur people on to walk into their early childhood setting, whether it's family childcare home or center-based care, to say, what can I do in this space to really make the most of this time? And that's where I think sometimes we get caught up in the, oh, I have to do that, or I have to do that, or I have to do that. And there are things like wiping down tables, disinfecting cots.
Right.
When and yes, those are all important because they keep all of us healthy.
Healthy, yeah.
But being aware of those other things that we can do in the setting that's going to really spur that learning on. And what was the statistic again? How many per second? Sorry to make you go back and find that, but that's incredible.
Yeah. 1 million new neural connections per second. Yeah.
Oh,
that's between birth and age 3. Yeah. It's crazy. That's a lot.
Yeah. So when we're looking at our settings, what are some other things that we can do? And when we look up, when we think about setting things up for success.
Yeah. I think one thing, just what you mentioned, even when you do have to clean the cots or spray the tables, I think involving children, like talking to them, like the language is huge because they're constantly, so, you know, building their language. So even when you're spraying the tables or the cots, you're talking to them like, I'm going to clean this. You know, they pick up on all of that. And just realizing that you've got that window of opportunity that we mentioned, it's so important to just, you know, focus on infants and toddlers' language development. So just constantly including them in your daily, you know, routine, just talking to them. Child-centered interactions is super important. You know, the brain is really, I think it's attuned to social interaction. That's what we all thrive off of. And that's going to help, you know, build those neural pathways for children. So just, you know, this probably looks different in every environment and really to each family. But I think the important thing is to include them as you're communicating, even with other people, or include them in the conversation, just so that, you know, young children know that you value their presence and, you know, their participation, just constantly talking to them. And then we mentioned responsive caregiving, I think. That's another key to supporting healthy brain development. So that's just, you know, basically refers to the care and teaching practices that are nurturing and responsive to an individual child's needs. So it helps build, you know, social and emotional skills as well as executive functioning skills, which, you know, build over childhood. But young children can even start to build those foundational skills, you know, 0 to 3. So I think that's really important.
Yes, definitely. And I think too, you know, being attuned to the child, when you talked about child-centered interactions, we tend as adults to direct a lot of things because it helps us move quickly. It helps us do what we are trying to achieve. But to allow time every day for children to really be the lead in what's happening next, and also watching where their eye gaze goes, because that's showing where their attention goes. And that's those opportunities, as you said, to talk about what they're noticing. Oh, are you looking at the blue crayon? Did you want to use the blue crayon? Let's use the blue crayon and see what color we get on our paper. And just all of those opportunities, if we're busy and distracted, we're going to miss those.
Right. Absolutely. And going back to, I mean, that also makes them feel valued, you know, like, oh, she saw that I was looking at the blue crayon. And so it's that language building, but it also makes them feel like, gosh, I'm an important member here of the group. Following their lead is super important, like you mentioned, for supporting brain development. I think when a child does express interest in something, you know, just follow their lead, just like you just said. So even if it's just for a few minutes, that just is going to help to support their curiosity. I think we just, it's a good reminder to resist the urge to take over. You know, we all want to be control and maybe things go quicker, but, you know, just not taking over so that things just go just right is you kind of have to resist that and just help them explore their interests with our support. That's going to help them learn new things and will also help support brain development.
Definitely. And when you think about also fostering peer relationships and interest in others too, it's a great opportunity. And that's brain building. Whereas there are children who focus mostly on adults because adults are very predictable comparatively. If you look at a three-year-old and an adult, well, if a child's not really sure socially how to navigate that three-year-old relationship, they're going to really focus on that adult in the room because they know they're positive, they're predictable. I know how they're going to respond to things. But if we see a child really stuck in that pattern, we, as that adult, need to really help them foster some of those connections with their peers in a safe and supportive way. So that kind of goes back to one of our earlier podcasts when we talk about active supervision too, really being near, but not, as you said, being over-directing and overbearing, but being near to support or to just even, I'm just thinking of a child who's just kind of following the teacher around the room and just that's how they spend free play. And instead saying, you know what, look what's happening over here. Let's go over and see what they're doing. And initially you might start down on the floor with that child and support them in those interactions. And then slowly you're going to scoot yourself back a little bit further. And then maybe the next few days go by and you find, oh, I didn't have to be as closely connected to help support that. But we want kids to develop those skills because that's really key.
Yeah. Focusing on those child-centered social interactions. Absolutely. And kind of engaging them with other children and with, you know, things to play with. I think, like we mentioned, they feel important when they're part of a conversation or an activity. You know, so it's important to interact with them, but we do want them to engage with other children as well. And as I mentioned before, like, you don't need the fancy toys or anything like that. Just, you know, interacting with us and other children is really enough. And just, you know, that back and forth with language, if they begin talking with each other and just including them in as many activities as you can, either with what you're doing or with other children. And then you mentioned the predictable routines.
Yes.
Children thrive on that. So consistent, regular routines, I think it helps them feel secure. So infants and toddlers love routine and they love to do things on repeat. And the repetition helps them learn too. So routines and consistency are important. It makes children feel comfortable and secure when they know what to expect. It makes it easier for them to feel comfortable, to explore, to play, and to learn new things when they know what's going to happen. Yeah. So, you know, maybe when you put your outdoor gear on, you always sing a song, you know, that type of thing before you go outside, or you listen to calming music when you're getting ready for nap time. Those routines help them anticipate what's going to happen next, and they thrive on that.
Yeah, right.
And then we mentioned the responsive care. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, young children have lots of emotions and they don't always know what to do with those. So to be sort of the regulator, I think it's really helpful. You know, children have lots of emotions, adults do too, but usually adults know how to regulate their feelings and, you know, how to appropriately show their feelings. So children are still building the networks in their brains that, you know, are going to regulate the feelings, and kids under five don't have those neural networks in place to control their impulses or fully regulate their emotions. So they need our help. Maybe you hold them close when they're upset, you know, or you hold them hand or you hold their hand, or maybe you're just modeling what to do with angry feelings, that type of thing, rather than acting on impulse. So just helping them regulate their emotions always, you know, that's going to help allow them to self-soothe later. They're going to learn those skills. And they can also learn that they can depend on adults when they do feel upset, that we're there for them. You know, maybe we'll hold them, show them compassion. So the early relationships are fundamental really for healthy brain development.
Definitely. And as you were saying, the modeling that we can provide as the adult in the setting, if we find ourselves getting agitated or whatever, just saying, oh, I feel like I need to take a break and take a deep breath. One of our coaches was just sharing about one of her sites that she was supporting and how there was a feeling of kind of chaos during the day. And the tools that she provided and the support and the ideas were really focused on what you were just talking about, regulating and calming. And the success that was noted because the children were given the skills mm-hmm. to do it themselves. And so over time, seeing how they were remembering, one example was a child who was going to tell the teacher something and they were just super excited and agitated and they stopped and took a deep breath.
Oh, wow.
Before they started talking. And that was this. We're talking about a young child here. Yeah. I think it was a three and a half year old or 4 year old. That's huge because you think of, as you said, how well that's going to serve them all throughout their life. These times that we have with these precious little ones, I always like to remind people, you don't get a do-over for your childhood. You get one.
Right.
So let's really, I mean, they should be having a blast. We should be keeping them safe, but we also should be maximizing their opportunities to experience growth and exciting things and to explore and love the world around them too.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like when you leave the hospital with that little baby, you know, they, a lot of times they do car seat classes and safe sleep. I don't know if they do, but they should do, you know, what happens in the first 3 years of life or the first 5 years of life with the children's brain growth. You know, 'cause that's the time that it's going to grow faster than it ever will again. So those experiences are really going to shape their brain's physical development. So just, you know, teaching, educating everyone that, you know, that they know that, those early experiences are going to really build the foundation of a lifetime of learning and their development.
Yeah. And in our world now where we have a tendency to default to technology so often, that's not the same as human interaction. It doesn't provide that connection that's necessary. And there's some positives, but we know that there's nothing better than human interaction with that infant and that toddler and that preschooler. And in fact, I was mentioning to Sarah too, so CICC is hosting an event on April 17th, 2025 with Erin Walsh, who really is an expert on media use in young children. And we're going to talk about that in the early childhood setting. It's really focused on educators to say, what can we do to support the healthy use of that, because we know it's out there. We're not going to be able to hide all the iPads in the world and tell parents, don't give your two-year-old your phone, because most two-year-olds know how to open their parents' phone and they know how to use and find all the games in there, which is mind-blowing. Mm-hmm. But we're missing opportunities if that's all we're doing when we're spending time with our children is giving them those technology opportunities to grow and thinking that that's going to grow their brains really big. Well, we're missing a huge piece there too. So I look forward to the time with Erin, but I know that I would encourage all of our listeners to really go to the American Academy of Pediatrics or the CDC to look at what the really the best screen time numbers for the ages of the kids and be that educator for families. Because I think, Sarah, that's part of our job too, as early childhood folks, mm-hmm. to really help families know what's best for their child. And so to explain about this critical brain building time. So when you think about summing up, and you did a beautiful job of kind of listing some key points early on in our conversation today, as we sum things up, what would you really want people to take away as like the real highlights of what we can do as adults for brain building?
Yeah. Well, I think it's just like what you said, you know, the first 3 years is huge. So just getting people to recognize that, you know, those early experiences, that's going to shape, you know, their brain's physical development. So you kind of got that window, like you said, the 80% in the first 3 years, is going to build that foundation. So I think just modeling good behaviors, appropriate, you know, use of emotions, including them when in your discussions, when you're talking to them and, you know, getting them engaged with other children, that sort of thing, I think is really, really important. That's going to kind of set up the foundation for their development.
Definitely. And that's what we're all about. That's what we want to do is we want to create healthy, happy humans and it starts right at those first early days. So thank you, Sarah Hawley, once again for a great conversation. If you need more resources on any of these topics or just need someone to talk to if you're struggling with trying to provide a setting that is successfully including children with unique learning needs or any of the things that happen in early childhood, reach out to inclusivechildcare.org, the Center for Inclusive Childcare. We're here to support you. And I know Sarah is a great resource as well. Minnesota Child Care Health Consultants offers training opportunities and things on their website. And so I really think that we know in Minnesota, we're good at supporting folks. And so there's resources out there. Never feel like you're alone because you're not. So thanks, Sarah. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thank you, Priscilla.
Thanks for listening. For more resources, visit us at inclusivechildcare.org.